Raslila, chapter 29, verse 4. Nishamyagitam taranangavardhanam Vrajastriya Krishna Grihita Manasa Ajagmur Anyonyam Alakshito Dhyama Sayatra Kanto Javalola Kundala. When the Vrajagopis heard Krishna's flute song on that fateful night of Purnima, their hearts were stirred with romantic desires. Their minds were enchanted by their beloved Krishna. They ran off, left everything behind them. They went to that place where their beloved was waiting beside the Yamuna. None of the gopis knew that the other gopis were running. And each gopi was running so quickly that her earrings were swinging back and forth. This idea that's represented here, the Brajastriya Krishna Grihita Manasa, last point of Grihita Manasa. Acharyas say that this is the symbol of real Vairagya, the highest expression of detachment, where Vairagya is only possible in divine love. Vairagya means to give up everything, detachment, renunciation, abandon everything, leave everything behind. Vairagya, virag, no color, no attachment. Rag means color, rag means attachment. So virag means that the heart of the man or woman, generally men become vairagis. The heart is no longer colored, rag, with rag, attachment to body, family, name, fame, position, prestige, social duties, social responsibilities, and ashram duties or responsibilities. True vairagya. Even we see in the great yogis of India, they may be detached in so many ways from eating and the ordinary activities of the modern people of the world, ahara, nidra, maitun, bhayam. They're single, they're brahmacharya, but they may be attached to prestige. So-and-so bal yogi, so-and-so tantric yogi, and they rather insist on being recognized that way. And if someone invites them to a venue, they want to make sure their full title is written on the invitation. So there is even what we see so-called renounced people. They will not give up their own names or their own claim to fame. Do you know who I am? I'm so-and-so yogi. I'm so-and-so mystic yogi. Oh, I didn't know. Because we stayed some time in Rishikesh in 1981 for six, seven months, and every day we're going to Haridwar and different places, visiting ashrams and also visiting huge ashrams that were run by Vairagi yogis. But when you think of the gopis, the acharyas are saying here that it is only in true love of God. True love means divine, sacred, spiritual love. And that type of bondage or relationship between Krishna and his pure devotees, especially the gopis, we can see the fullest extent of Vairagya, the fullest extent of detachment. Because something that would be practically impossible for anyone to give up, a woman to give up her Lajja Dharma, it's like a yogi giving up his kamandalu. A yogi will have his kamandalu or his paduka. He'll have his wooden shoes or he'll have something. Have somewhere to stay, or he'll have keys to some kuti somewhere. But to give up everything and run into the forest Even yogis, they live in the forest, but they stay in a cave. And they seal the cave at night with a big rock. And they burn a fire outside the cave. Because tigers and nighttime animals, predators, are very much afraid of fire. They run from fire. So they're intelligently protecting themselves because of attachment to their body. Even at the highest stages of what's considered the most respectable display of vairagya, living in Himalayas in a cave, just eating the wild berries or fruits, which is rather rare. We've met some and seen some. But they don't simply lie on the open mountainside at night. There is some fear. Attachment to fear is also an attachment. There's 18 coverings on the living entity in material consciousness. Doubt, apprehension, hunger, thirst, fatigue, many coverings of the living entities. One is fear, bhayam. Very powerful. The gopis, Grihita Manasa, they ran out. They didn't think it's Purnima. And in Purnima, the jungle animals become very, very passionate and very, very hungry because they can hunt nicely at night under the moonshine. They can bear the moonshine, but they can't bear a bonfire outside your cave. Even when the yogis are outside, they know the habitats and they live in, you can say, harmony with the jungle animals, but they respect the fear that a tiger represents. I mean, they acknowledge that. So at night, they don't trust the tiger to behave himself. The gopis ran out into the forest. This is 5,000 years ago. And we all know that 500 years ago in Vrindavan, tigers would drink water from the Yamuna. Tigers would drink water from Pavan Sarovar and Radhakund. Tigers, real live tigers, ha! And wild cats and leopards and all kinds of exciting creatures of the forest. Because there was dense forest and proper balance of nature to supply everyone's food. But their love was so great that they forgot everything. They forgot fear. They forgot their bodies, attachments to their body. Self-preservation of the human body, of the, let's say, of oneself, is the first law of material nature. Whether the jiva is in the ant's body, in the body of an ant, or he's in Brahma's body, or in any body, a Brahma Bhuvanaloke, he is concerned about preserving his life and concerned about losing his kingdom or losing his lordship or losing his reign as the controller of the universe or falling from his position. And most obviously, every living entity is afraid of death. So they will try at all costs to avoid death because death doesn't exist. There's no such thing as death. That's the very proof that death doesn't exist, that every living entity tries to avoid it. Because death is not natural. Eternal, the soul is eternal. He lives eternal. So when extinction comes his way because of lack of knowledge, then he's a human being. He realizes God and accepts his destiny. The time is up, cries out to God, and gets liberated. Hey Ram, hey Krishna. But if an ant is walking down the floor and you inhibit his progress and disturb him, he may think, oh, this is an aggressor. Someone may try to kill me. He runs the other way. He runs away. It's natural. You've heard this, no? Self-preservation is the first law of nature. Protect thyself. But the gopis, they're not thinking about protection. They're not thinking about their name in society or their fame. Because this is the true meaning Acharyas are telling us that only by the power of divine love can one actually totally forget his body and all bodily relations. And Brajastriya Krishna Grihita Manasa shows that. If one wants to become a Vairagi, he should worship the gopis. Because whomever you worship, you take on their qualities, as a crystal takes on the color of the nearest object. The crystal is colorless, spotika, glass, faceted glass which reflects images and colors that are shown through it. White light makes a prism. So if you put a red flower near a crystal, then the crystal takes on a reddish tint. So we see in Gaudiya Sampradaya, the devotees worship the gopis, and they're the most renounced. Look at our Das Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami. Was he a worshiper of the gopis? Certainly. He's teaching the path of perfection, Prayojan. So renounced. Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Gopal Bhatta, Raghunath Bhatta, Jeev Goswami. Jaktva tur namashi shamandala pati srinim sada tuchava. They were tyagis. Tyaktva tur namashi shamandala pati. Mandala pati. The mandala, the circle of influence, friends, power, name, fame, control. They're working in the government 500 years ago. Ministers, treasury minister, home affairs minister. Gave it all up to run the Vrindavan and follow the gopis and learn how to be fully detached. Gopi bhava rasamritabdha ilahari says that they so much followed the gopis, they became absorbed in their bhav. The gopis' bhav, the gopis' mood of service and dedication, surrender and love, the brajastriya krishna grihita manasa. They lost their minds by worshipping the gopis and became the most exemplary Vairagis in the history of India. The Sad Goswamis Vrindavan, they're still worshipped and painted and glorified even today. The famous six Goswamis, Sad Goswamis of Vrindavan, that lived here 500 years ago. Gaudiya, Vaishnava, Vairagi, Acharyas, Rasik Janas, Rupa Goswami. But they weren't short on renunciation. Well, this is a beautiful point. Now the next line we have is Ajagmur Anyonyam Alakshito Dhyama. The translation Ajagmu, the gopis went Anyonyam. Anyonyam means Anya, Anyata, or Anya. No other concern or no other distraction, no one noticed them. Alakshitodhyama means unnoticed. They were all moving towards Krishna from their various houses, leaving their mothers or fathers, or leaving their mothers-in-laws and husbands, if they were married, the Brajaramanis, and then the Braja, the Kumaris, Brajakumaris, the unmarried ones. They all left. And so the question we asked, how is it, why did they go out privately or without being noticed? And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he says that each gopi was only aware because if you lose your mind, you're aware of it. And actually you're not aware of too much because you lost your mind. So you'll only be aware of that much and you won't be aware of anybody else losing their minds because you don't have your mind to figure out what their minds are doing. So they lost their minds. They only thought, oh, Krishna, grihita manasa. He captivated our minds. He stole our minds. So now we have to go out secretly and unseen by others, because if someone sees us, then they will tell that thief that we're looking for him. Like if someone robs your house, and then you go out and you say, where are you going? I'm going to look for that thief. Then if the thief is your friend and giving you some commission from that hall, then you'll call him and say, watch out, so-and-so is coming to look for you. And he has some idea, this and that. Okay, thank you. So they went out secretly to catch, because that great act of thievery was performed. Vishnath is following the same analogy that he used earlier in this verse, that they went out, the gopis ran out to catch that thief who performed such a drastic, dastardly deed of stealing their very essence of their being, the mind. The mind is the king of, is the king. And we're all humble servants of the king known as the mind. That no one will argue. The king is ruling and the king is the mind. Do this, do that, want this, want that, need this, need that. Then the body and senses and energy and discrimination and intelligence all align themselves to fulfill the unlimited dictations and pushings and wantings of the mind. The vast desire factory called mind, the vast dream factory. This factory, the mind, is running 24 hours a day. During the day, the mind is producing conscious desires and driving us crazy to fulfill them. And during the night, the mind is producing unconscious desires and trying to provide some means to fulfill them, and oftentimes not fulfilling them, and we wake up with unfulfilled dreams. To be continued. Or at least desire. We something climax is about to happen in a dream, or just about to win something, or someone's just about to give us a gift, and then we lose a dream and wake up. Oh, my grandfather is about to give me all his money. But then, because I've been dreaming about that for years, and so I dreamt of my grandfather. It's an example. And then one night I dreamt of my grandfather came to me and said, listen, you're my favorite grandson. And don't tell the other ones, but I want, here's my debit card and here's my my bank account in Switzerland. So you keep it quiet. And when I go, it'll all be yours. And we're, oh, it's such a nice dream. And then and just when he says, now, let me get the card out. Let me give you, and then we wait, and the dream breaks. Hey, wait a minute. I didn't get the number of the account number. So the mind is continually fulfilling, creating desires, and we have to run life after life in our mad attempts to fulfill the endless desires being cranked out by the mental factory. We all have very wonderful factories. They work 24 hours a day with no electricity. A few Glavjamins, a little Rajman, a Puri, and the mind really works like anything. For days even. Even if you're fasting, even if you don't eat anything for 3 days, your mind says, oh, your body is producing desires, but you're so tired because of your health fast, you can't even move. So you don't have much scope to fulfill those conscious desires. But even when you're sleeping and during a fasting period, so many desires will come up. Usually for food. Like Prabhupada once, he was telling about this, my Gurudev. He said, he was talking about dreams. And he told, one morning he woke up and he told his disciples, he said, you know, last night I had a dream. Because last night when I came back from some Pravachan program, my Gurudev said, now I was a little hungry, but it was late, so I simply took rest. But then in my dream, I had this dream that my mother was cooking pakoras for me. And he was quite old at the time. My mother was cooking pakoras and serving them to me one by one, and with all kinds of wonderful chutneys. I remember last night I was eating in my dream. And Prabhupada woke up and he told his dream. He said, I was eating. He said, sometimes dreaming is like this. You're thinking of eating. So at night you'll cook something, eat in your dream. So the gopis, they're dreaming of Krishna and they're always planning to meet him. And so they thought, I have to catch this thief. Now there's another reason. Why did they go out on Yonyam, a Jagmur on Yonyam? Alakshitodyama, because they didn't want to be discovered by other gopis. Then another reason that the acharyas say that ajagmur anyonyam alakshitodyama, that they went unnoticed, is that they were so much bewildered by this excitement and anticipation of finally meeting Krishna after so long. Some gopis, the kumaris, they had waited almost a year. Krishna met them and stole their clothes and said, "In the future nights we will enjoy together as husband and wife." That was about so many 8 months, 9 months later. So they were so anxious and so eager to meet Krishna. So when finally that auspicious night came of Shard Purnima, and they heard Krishna's Jagokalam, his beautiful flute sound, Anangavardhanam, and their hearts were jumping in leaps and bounds to finally dance with their beloved Krishna, whom they performed intense austerities for the entire month of Katyayani, Mrigashirsha, Katyayani Brat, a year before. Now the final fruit of their sankalpa was being presented to them on that wonderful night of Sharad Purnima. So they were besides themselves and overwhelmed with love and excitement. So they were actually bewildered. If someone is bewildered, they don't even know who's there, who's not there. Who's in the room or who's not in the room. Sometimes people get in different states of mind and they don't know who's in front of them or who's behind them or who's anywhere. You see some people in the public, they get drunk or something. Some low-class people, "Hey, listen to me." And they start speaking and everyone's looking at them and they're in their own world. And they start talking, say, "Listen, Prime Minister, I have to give you some advice." And he's just standing on the sidewalk having this imaginary conversation with the Prime Minister because he's a drunken man. He doesn't realize there's lakhs and lakhs of people walking up and down the sidewalk at Nehru Place, you know, in Delhi or New York City or anywhere. And he's lost in his own bewilderment of his rather intoxicated state. So the gopis were bewildered, they were intoxicated by prem unmad, as we heard earlier, unmad, by the bewilderment and intense impulse and overwhelmment of love for Krishna. So they didn't even know, as they ran away from their houses, that so many other gopis were also running down the same path. That's really bewilderment. You don't know who's in front of you or behind you or near you. So this is one point the gopis are displaying here. Sayatra kanto javalola kundala. This is the last line of 29.4. Sayatra kanto javalola kundala. They were going so quickly, Java Lola Kundala, their kundal were swinging, Lola. And where were they going? Yatra Kanto. Yatra means where. So the only comment on this word where is from our Gurudev. And his tika on this shloka, he says this word yatra means where. Where? And he probably let the cat out of the bag, so to speak. He says in his tika, his commentary, he said, they were going, because it says yatra kanto, they were going from point A to point B. They were going from their own houses in Barsana or Chiksoligram or Unchagaon or Rawali or all these different villages of Sakistali around Radharani's palace. And they're all running to meet Krishna. Somewhere, yatra kanto, where their lover was waiting. It's not telling where. He could be in any place. He could be in Nandagram or any forest or any van or any gully or any kunja, any nikunj, any place he could be. It's a vast area, Brajmandal. Yatra, Gurudev says, they went to where their lover, Yatra Kanto, where he was. And where was Krishna? At Vamshivat. So Gurudev says, they went to Vamshivat besides the Yamuna in Vrindavan, to meet their Kanta, their beloved. Yatra Kanto. Where is the beloved? This is a good question. They went to where their beloved is, and that's also a question. Where is a place and where is a question? Where are you going? I'm going where I live. There. I'm going there where I live. So, Yatra Kanto, where is the lover? Is the lover in this world? Is the lover in that world? Is the lover within myself? Where is the lover? Is the lover without myself? This can also be thought like this, Yatra. And if I'm going Java quickly somewhere to my Kanta, where is that lover located? So the whole idea of human life is to get redirected in the right direction. Go in the right direction. As often sages say, go east and seek your fortune. That's what they say in Europe and other places, go east. But in India, they say, go to the Himalayas. Go north. Go to the Himalayas and seek God, seek self-realization. Usually they say, where did your elderly brother go? Or where did your retired father go? Oh, he went to Haridwar. He went to Himalayas. He went to Rishikesh. Oh, why? Oh, he's looking for God. This is the general impression. They don't usually say, he went to Mumbai. He went to Mumbai. He went south to Mumbai looking for God. He went to Goa. He went to Nicobar. He went to Las Vegas looking for God. I guess you can find God anywhere, but so this where to go, this is the whole idea, where to go. That's the whole question of human life. Who am I? Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? Yatra. Yatra. Am I going to my lover in the kingdom of love? Or am I going nowhere fast? I have an expression in America. Where are you going? And then a friend will jokingly say, I'm going nowhere fast. I'm going very quickly, jaldi jaldi, but nowhere. Because where I'm going, I don't know. And where I'm going, I'll never return from again. Because where I'm going is to death. Yatra, where is mrityu? Yatra mrityu. Where we're going is to death. Birth ends up in death. But the gopis are going to their eternal beloved. They're going to, and who, their eternal beloved is Krishna, Shyam Sundar, Damodar, Kunja Bihari, Rasa Bihari, Rasa Bihari Krishna. This is a good idea. But moreover, he's not only their beloved, Priyatam, but he happens to be God, Bhagavan, Swayam Bhagavan. By this phrase, the gopis are teaching a good example. Go where your lover is. Yatra Kanto. Yatra, where? Kanto. Kanto means your lover. Your near one, your dear one. Your special one that fulfills you and enlivens you and delights you and satisfies you. That's an unusual personality. The true lover. We say true love. I have these phrases sometimes, but true love. True love is divine love. Because true love is transparent, and true love is pure, and true love is eternal. And that's the truth that everyone's meant to realize. The truth of divine love. What is the purpose of life? To love God. Any philosopher of the world, most of the philosophers, and most of all the religions, the basic thread of that religion, whether it's India, or the Middle East, or Europe, or whatever, the basic common thread of that religion or that tradition of faith is love of God. To love God. Go where your real self-interest is. Go where the Maha art, the real Purusha art, The real value and wealth of human life is there. Go there. Go where? Go where love is. Doesn't it make sense? They have a phrase, one usually likes to stay where he's loved. If you go somewhere and people don't like you, they don't appreciate you, your presentation or the goods that you're selling, if you're a salesman, you're selling, you go somewhere, yatra, to sell your goods and people say, oh, we don't like these things. They're useless to us. So then you go where? You go somewhere else. So the phrase is, people like to stay where they are loved. Yatra kanto. And generally that's equated with our house, our home. My mother and father love me. My husband and wife, they love me. My children, they love me. So we like to stay there. Home, sweet home. Om, sweet home. Om is the way to the sweet home. Om is transcendental vibration. Om. So the sweet home, if we go where are we really loved? Everyone says, God is love. Love is God. But is love an attribute or a quality or a feeling possessed by a person, by an individual, by an entity, a living entity? Yes. Do tables and floors express love? No. Animals express love. Humans express love. So it's a quality of the living entity, the jiva, to love, to feel, to care, to concern, to be affectionate and appreciative and grateful. Even animals are grateful to the love given to them by their masters. One can go to the jungle and take a baby cub, tiger, and love that tiger like a friend. And then that tiger will appreciate that person's love and reciprocate with them. There was a famous story years ago about some Western lady who had a tiger, and there was an article written about it, National Geographic. I forget. It was back in the 70s when I was a young man. And she studied tigers in the jungle. So even a tiger, a man-eating tiger, a vicious, flesh-eating jungle predator, can appreciate love. So go where we are loved. So ultimately we say we're loved at home. My mother loves me more than anyone in the world. That's probably true. Universally. My father loves me more than anyone in the world. Or if they're not with us, then we say, well, not quite the same as my mother and father, but my wife loves me so much, or my husband. But friend loves me so much? That's rare to have one friend. But where is that kanta, that lover that loves us the most, is God. And where he is home, sweet home. That's the spiritual world. That is where he is. So gopis are going from where they were to where he was. Yatra kanto. Where were the gopis? Yatra, where? They were in their homes. Their homes represent the material world. In their homes were duties and families and children and social duties and ashram duties as wives, duties to husbands, all lokic considerations related to their body and their body relations. But Krishna was calling them forth to another home, yatra kanto. Their husbands, the love of their husbands, or the love of their mothers and fathers and brothers, was keeping them home, but in this case, their home was not om, but it was home. And home represented the material world. A material world means janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, dukkha, dosha, anudarsana. It means birth, old age, disease and death, and so much misery. So they left that yatra, that where, and went where? God was waiting. There's another way to look at it. They left somewhere. Where did they leave? They left husbands, wives, mothers, fathers, mother-in-laws, etc. We all have those things. So on one level, the gopis are saying, leave all these things and go to where God is. Om, sweet home. Krishna chanted Om in the flute. He chanted Kam Gayatri in the flute. He chanted Klim, this, the bijam of love, romance, divine sacred love, was mixed in his flute song. And their individual names. And they ran to him. They gave up everything, Grihita Manasa. Giving up it when your mind is controlled and seized by God, then you become truly renounced, a true vairagi. And then you can actually yatra kanto, you can run to where God is waiting. He's waiting somewhere for everyone. He's under a tree. He's in your heart. He's somewhere in the cave of the heart. Sometimes God is in a cave in Govardhan, enjoying with the gopis. Sometimes he's standing under a tree, leaning on a Kadamba tree, playing his flute, relaxing and enjoying. Sometimes he's dancing, sometimes he's playing. He can yatra, he can be where, anywhere in Vrindavan. All of Brajmandal Trasi Kosh is marked with Krishna's footprints and Leela Stalis. There are hundreds of villages in Brajmandal, and they all have names. One village my friend is from is called Radhe Ra. Radhe Ra means the place where Radha lives. Because Radha sometimes came there and stayed with one of her relatives. Some, whatever relative, she stayed there sometime. So the whole village is named after the time that Radharani came and stayed there with her mother's aunt or something. And in that village, to commemorate Radharani's stay there, there's an entire temple of Radharani under the ground. And the temple is so big, the approach, you can drive a Maruti car under the ground to go and see that temple. Radhe Ra. Radhe Ra. That's one village. And there's hundreds and hundreds of villages. And they're all named after Leelas of Radha and Krishna. And they're Parishads. So Krishna Yatra Kanto, where is that lover? He's everywhere in Vrindavan. Everywhere in Vrindavan. So the great saints and sages who are true vairagis pursuing love of God, Krishna Prem, the Premi, Krishna Premi Bhaktas, they leave Tyaktva Turnam Ashesha Mandala Pati, that unbelievable, unlimited circle of wealth and influence, Ashesha Mandala Pati, and they run to Vrindavan and they become like madmen. Their detachment is so intense and they're pursuit and absorption and love and separation is so great, they run everywhere in Vrindavan to all these villages and all these gowns and mountains and caves and trees. And they say, hey Radhe, Brajadevi ke chilalite, hey Nanda Suno Kutaha, Shri Govardhana Padakalpatale, Kalindi Vanya Kutaha, Goshanta Viti Sarvato Vrajapure, Vrajapur, Kedhar Mahavivalo, Mahavival, Mahavival, Ha, Radha, Sham. Become Vival, completely bewildered, overwhelmed with intense love and separation from Radha and Krishna. And they're running, where are you, Yatra Kanto? Where is my beloved? Where is Krishna? Where is Giridhari? Are you here at Vamshivat? Are you here in the caves of Govardhan? Are you in the waters of the Yamuna? Are you playing Jal Keli in Radhakund? Are you playing Holi in Barsana? Where are you? Yatra Kanto, searching for their beloved. So the gopis, Yatra Kanto Javalola Kundala, Kundal. Yatra Kanto, they went where their lover was. In this particular night, in this particular Leela, Vras Leela, depicted in this Rasa Panchadhyaya, they went to Vamshivat in the Sharad Ras, in the Ashwin Purnima, which is coming up soon. In a few days, we have Bhadramas, Shukla Paksha for 2 weeks, then 4 weeks of Ashwin. So in 6 weeks from now will be Sharad Purnima, the full moon night of the Sharad season, which is Ashwin Maina Purnima. This is where that Kanto is, Yatra Kanto. He's there. And they know he's there. And they're running there to recover their minds, which he stole with their flutes, Manoharam. But where are we running? Are we running to find our beloved Lord? Are we running to find God? No, we're running to the office. We're running on holidays. We're running to Europe. We're running to Singapore. We're running to China. China. Chini. We're running to Chini to get goods and all kinds of things to make money. The gopis are not running to China. They're running to Krishna. Yatra Kanto. Javalola Kundala. Javalola Kundala. Java means haste. Quickly, jaldi, jaldi, lo, la. Interesting word in Sanskrit. Lo, la. It means swinging. This means like this, like a julan. Radhe julan apadaro chuki ahe badara. So it means swinging. Lo, la, lo, la, lo, la. Even sounds like what it represents, lo, la. Hastily, very quickly they're running, because if a thief steals your money, you should go quickly before he escapes, before he hides it, before he returns to his hideout. You run out and you say, he went that way. And if you're fast on your motorcycle, maybe you can even see him in a distance and pursue him in a wild chase scene. Then he'll start shooting you. Boom. Like a movie. So they want to quickly run after that thief and catch their stolen property, their hearts. He's a heart thief. We heard. Balavacharya glorifies him. Ridiyam maduram. He says, Ridayam choram maduram. He steals the heart, but it's very sweet. Krishna steals the heart, says Balava in his Madhurastakam, but his stealing is very sweet. Because now my heart's been stolen by Maya. My heart's been stolen by money and all these material things. And now Krishna's come and stole my life, my attention, my heart, my mind, everything. And I couldn't be a happier man being robbed by God. So this is the ultimate robbery, when Krishna steals everything and gives us his love. They went to where their lover waited, each unknown to the others, moving so quickly that their earrings swung back and forth. So now the acharyas have very elaborate purports on these two words, Lola Kundala. For most of us, it's two Sanskrit words which are certainly not our native language, not mine by any means. Lola Kundala. Kundala or Kundal, Makar Kundal, Makari Kundal, means earrings in this case. So they're swinging. Why were they swinging? The verse says, Java. So the verse is giving the answer to the surprise quiz by the teacher. Why were the gopis' earrings Lola Kundala? Oh, it's because Java. They were running hastily. No. Achha. But when you run quickly somewhere and you have earrings, they're going to dangle and twist and go this way, that way, if they're long earrings. Or your necklace on your neck will go like this, or your handbag will swing back and forth if you're running down the path. Your shoulder bag, whatever they call it. No, not because of fear. Not because they were running. Were the gopis' earrings swinging because of excitement, and their hearts were jumping, and they were trembling because the gopis were feeling so much prem, so much madhurya rati, so much Sringharati, divine romantic love rising in their heart. Ah, now I'm going for the Prem Abhisar to meet my beloved Krishna at Vamshivat, Vamshidhari. Ah, for Ras Leela. So much excitement, so much exhilaration, delight and love that I'm feeling overwhelmed and I'm succumbing to sattvic vikars, ashta sattvic vikars. My mind is trembling, my heart is shaking. Now my earrings are reflecting the trembling of my heart. Trembling is a sign of ecstasy and love. The body trembles, the eyes cry, the hair stands on end, the voice chokes up. The color changes, one's cheeks become flushed with change in color. Vepatu. No, try to say, not because of that. Later they'll experience sattvic vikars. But not now when they're java, yatra, yatra kanto, java lola kundala. Not when they're running so quickly down the path to go where their lover is waiting at Vamshivat. Not because of running fast, which is an obvious answer, which we can observe by our own experience. If you run, your earrings will swing, lola. Not because of ecstasy in the heart and trembling of the heart. No. There's some mystery here. The earrings were trembling out of fear. The gopi's kundal earrings were trembling out of bhayam, fear. But what can they be afraid of? They're going to Krishna. He's yad yad vibhati svayam. He's that personification of fearlessness. Krishna, God, if you take shelter of God, if you remember God and chant his name, you'll become fearless. Chant Sri Ram, Sri Ram, Sri Ram, Krishna, Krishna. You'll become fearless and courageous and detached and feel the presence of God. Whether you live or die, you have no fear because God has entered your mind and heart through his sound vibration of his holy name. So association with God, proximity of God, remembrance of God, chanting God's name brings fearlessness. And they're running to their kanto, Krishna kanto. They're running to their lover. But the earrings are swinging out of fear. In fact, this word kanto, we meant to say one point. We say kanto, the Krishna kanto. He's Krishna kant. He's Krishna kant. He's the lover. The gopi's lover, their Krishna kant. But there's nice pranam prayer, which is a popular prayer to glorify Krishna. Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandhu Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta, Namostute. Namostute. I offer my most humble and egoless respects and obeisances to Sri Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Hey Krishna, he's Krishna. Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, he's an ocean of compassion, mercy, love, guidance, help, protection, providing, and caring when I lack. Karuna Sindhu, hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandhu Jagatpate. Dina Bandhu, everyone's here, oh Dina Bandhu. So he's Dina, the fallen Bandhu. He's a friend of the fallen. Someone has no other friends, they can make a friendship with God. Sometimes people say, oh, I don't have any friends. No one cares for me. No one likes me. Every time I try to make a friend, it always breaks up after a few weeks. They find some fault in me, or I find some fault in them. I'm so sad. I'm so woeful. I'm such a poor person, I can't make a friend. All right, you feel so fallen, so downtrodden, so low, make friends with God. What a great friend. What a compassionate, loving, near and dear friend. So sweet, affectionate, tender, and caring. Couldn't have a better friend than God. Couldn't have a richer friend than God. Couldn't have a more powerful friend than God. Couldn't have a more beautiful friend than God. Couldn't have a more intelligent friend than God. What a great friend. He's there 24/7. How many friends are available 24/7? Just try to call them on their cell phone. I'm sorry, the number you've called is switched off. Please call again later. Later. So Krishna's phone is always on 24/7. Helpline, friendship, Nitya friendship helpline. One can call on Krishna anytime, every time, for all time. And anywhere and everywhere, 24-hour service, no network problems, no cell phone problems, no battery charging. Oh, my battery's dead. I forgot my charger. Can I borrow your phone? Oh, I can always connect with God. That friend. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate. He's the father of the universe, Jagatpate. I have my father, but he's not the father of the universe. He may be my universe. If I'm a child, my universe is only my father and mother. I don't know anyone but that, but them. My world, my universe is my mother and father, Jagatpate. Jagatpate Sri Krishna Bhagavan. He's the Lord, the controller, the father of the entire universe. We can have our father everywhere. We can be with our father everywhere at any time. We never lose our father, Krishna. God is the father. Jagatpate Gopesha. Gopa Isha. All the gops, all the gwals and gopas of Vrindavan, Krishna is their controller because he controls their hearts. Anyone controls your heart, they fully control you. If someone controls your heart, they control your life, your movements, your emotions, your speech, your free time, your work time, your money, everything, because they control your heart. Gopesha means Krishna controls all the gopas. Their whole life is centered around serving and loving and pleasing Krishna. He controls them all with his love, his escapades, his leelas, his pastimes, his beauty, his gestures. This is Krishna, Vrindavan, Gopesha. And Gopesha, go means senses, indriya. Gopesha. Our indriya, our panchindriya, ganindriya, and karmindriya, our senses are ultimately controlled by Rishika Isha, Krishna. Gopesha means the controller, the Lord, and the master of the senses. These are the general ideas of God. From a more external God, the provider viewpoint, Jagatpate, Dinabandhu, Karuna Mai, or Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu. And then becoming more intimate, the controller of my very senses, or even more intimate, enter Vrindavan, the controller of the gopas, the controller of Gokul, Gopesha. But now the most intimate Madhurya Mai consideration of God, Madhurya Mai Vichar of Bhagavan, then you find his heart center. You find the very heart center of Krishna, the life center, the pran center. Who are his praneshwaris? Who are the ishwaris of his pran, controllers of his pran? Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandho, Jagatpate. This is Aishwarya, God, the protector, compassionate, kind one, friendly one, providing one. And then more intimate, Gopesha. And then Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandha, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika Kanta. Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta. Now the most intimate understanding, the very heart of God is being glorified here and being worshipped and respected here. Namostute. Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta. The word here is Kanto. Yatra Kanto. The gopis, the gopis went where Yatra, their Kanta was. The gopika Kant. The Kant, the lover. They went where their lover was, at Vamshiva. So Krishna's Gopika Kanta, he's a lover of all the Gopikas, the Braja Ramanis and the Braja, Kumaris, the unmarried gopis, married gopis. He's a lover of all the gopis, even the elderly gopis. The motherly gopis are also Gopika. But then, of all these female intimate personalities that love Krishna as his mothers or his lovers, then there's that one. Out of the many, there is one. Ekopahusham. Of the Bahu, there is Ek. So many devotees. So many people worship God as Dinabandhu. Oh, hey, Dinabandhu. I'm suffering. Hey, Dinabandhu, please help me. Please uplift me. Oh, Karuna, Karuna Sindhu Bhagavan, please be kind, compassionate to me. I am suffering. Gopesha. But then, finally, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta. So, Yatra Kanto means that Krishna Kant, Radha Kant. Krishna Kant means the lover of Krishna, Radha. And Radha Kant means the lover of Radha, Krishna. So Radha Kant, Krishna Kant is going to Radha Kant. So Yatra Kanto means it's who is going where. Radharani, Krishna Kant, the lover of Krishna, Krishna Kant. She is going where Radhakant is. She is going where the lover of Radha, where her lover is. Radha Kanta Namostute. So this is the ultimate personality in Krishna's life, Radharani. So with glorifying all over the universe, Krishna Bhaktas, even Vaikuntha Bhaktas, or worshippers of Krishna, Naishvarya mode, they say Dinabandhu, Kruna. But then we talk about Gopika Kanta and Radha Kanta is Vrindavan. Krishna being respected and honored and worshipped in Vrindavan. And of all the Kantas and of all the beloveds in Vrindavan, no one is greater than Srimati Radhika. She is the Kanta of Krishna himself. She is the one original, only, and special lover of Krishna. Radha Kanta. Radharani is his everything. So this kanta means that. So we're asking this question, why are the earrings swinging, Lola Kundal? Are they, one Acharya says, are they swinging in fear of their superiors, Gurujan? Gurujan, in the commentary says Gurujan. Gurujan means those heavy people. Heavy human beings, the Guru Jana. Heavy human beings. Jana means person. Guru means heavy. So mother-in-laws can be heavy. Father-in-laws can be heavy. Guru Jan. So the earrings are swinging. Oh, maybe our father-in-laws are coming after us, are running behind us. And the earrings are swinging. Oh, they're Guru Jana. You better run. The earrings are swinging in fear of being pursued by their mother-in-laws or father-in-laws or their own mothers and fathers running behind them in the forest. Where are you going? It's midnight. In the middle of the forest, so dangerous. How you run out of the house like this? You've gone crazy? No, it's not because of that. There's a deeper reason. First of all, the mystery here is the mystery behind Kundal. Kundal. Kundal means earring. But in Krishna Leela, Sri Krishnaji, Shamsundar, Govinda, he wears very characteristic kundal, earrings. And these are called makar kundal. Kundal means earring. Makar means these are earrings that have the design, if you see them cut and designed, they're in gold or silver. Jewels embedded in them, very beautiful. And they hang from Krishna's ear and they go down some distance. They hang to his cheek. They dangle here. They're quite large earrings. And these kundal represent a wahan. a deva vahan. Vahan means a carrier, a vehicle, like an airplane. So the different devas, they have different vahans. We have heard of Brahmaji. Brahmaji's vahan, his carrier is hans. That Brahmaji rides on a swan. He sits on a huge hans swan and he travels throughout the universe at supersonic speeds. In a very comfortable feather bed. Full reclining bed on first class seat. And the whole bed is made out of swan feathers. Natural swan feathers. Or maybe the chairs are nice white swan feather chairs. He sits there. Then Shiv, Lord Shiv, he has a vahan, he has a carrier. Is it a swan? He prefers a more rugged ride. Brahma is a little easygoing. He likes a nice feathered mattress, nice full-length bed on the supersonic airline. But Shiv likes a rather bumpy ride, and he rides in the back of a brisha, a bull. And bull is a very muscular animal, very firm and very like the seat of a yogi. Yogi doesn't usually sleep. He sleeps on the ground or the floor. He doesn't sleep on a feathered mattress or a memory mattress 10 inches thick. So Shiv likes this type of vahan. And then his son, Kartikeya, he likes to listen to interesting music when he's flying. So he has a stereo set on his vahan. And he flies on a vahan called a moor, peacock. And peacock makes some very interesting sounds. Wah, wah, like all these sounds. Make ho, like this. So he prefers to ride on a peacock. Brahma rides on a swan. Kartikeya rides on a peacock. Shiva rides on his bull. Then Durga, she likes everyone to get out of her way. Some people, they buy these big cars, these SUV or something like that. So everyone will get out of their way and move out of the way when they go down the road. Or big trucks, everyone makes way for a truck. So Durga, she rides on such a vahan that everybody gets out of the way when she comes down the street. Have you ever seen her car? Have you seen Durga's car? What is her car? A lion. If a lion walks down the street, will you try to block the path? Will you try to tell the lion, please park your lion? You can't take your lion down the street. No one gets in the way of a lion. They'd rather give free passage. And if a lion's approaching you from the back, then you'll certainly run away as fast as you can and get out of the way. So Durga travels on a lion. Who else do we have? Ganesh. Now Ganesh, he's a very humorous personality. And some people like to deal on opposites. That's their profession and gives them humor in life. They like to deal in the big and the small. So Ganesh, of course, is a hathi. He's an elephant. And just to create lots of excitement in people's minds, and create impossibilities, because Ganesh represents removing obstacles and making the impossible possible. He represents this quality, Ganapati, making the impossible possible. You have obstacles to success, and then you worship Ganesh in hopes that he'll make the impossible possible. So he represents this quality of removing vast impediments and obstacles. He's called the success god because he himself is showing the principle of making the impossible possible. Yes? Because he's an elephant and his vahan is a mouse. So it's impossible for an elephant to sit on a mouse and go anywhere. Immediately you'll get 4 flat tires. The mouse will get 4 flat legs. What to speak of a flat belly. The mouse will become a pancake. And you can't ride down the street on a pancake. So this Ganesha's very wahan shows the principle that he makes the impossible possible. Yes? Interesting. Now, who's left? Who? Vishnu. Vishnu, he rides on an eagle because it's quite an animal show. And all the devas, gods and devas, they're just flying around on different animals. So Vishnu doesn't want to be left out. So he grabbed one eagle that wasn't doing anything. And he said, listen, I want you to be my carrier, because we got, the one guy took off on a peacock, another guy took off on a swan, one guy went off on a bull, another guy went off on a mouse, one lady went off on a lion, and I have to catch up with all these friends of mine, and they're all traveling through the universe at quite breakneck speeds. So then eagles are known for very fast flying, very fast. They can soar through the air. So then Vishnu took his time finishing his chapan bhog, and everybody else was already racing through the universe. So then Vishnu got on Garuda and said, let's go. And he won the race, actually. So who else is left? Lakshmi rides on an owl, because she's very mysterious. You don't know when she's going to come or not come. So Lakshmi Devi's quality, the owl is a nocturnal bird. It comes at night. It's very hard to see the owl. Other birds you can see. You can see peacock. You can see swan in a lake. But the owl, I don't know what you say in Hindi, owl. How do you say owl? Ulu. Ulu? Ulu. Yeah, I remember hearing that word. Ulu, the ulu paki, is very difficult to spot, even if you're out at night. I want to see one, because we grew up in the country and we would sometimes go out and try to spot them in the trees. But they're very surreptitious birds and they hide quite a bit. So the Lakshmi is very hidden and chanchal. Sometimes she appears and sometimes she disappears. And when you want to find her, you can't find her. And when you want to discover Lakshmi, you can't discover. So she has a very mysterious carrier called the owl. Who else? Yamaraj. Yamaraj is on the bell. No, the bicycle. Yamaraj, of course, we don't like to see him too much. But Yamaraj, he rides on a big black buffalo. Because he takes his time, but he finishes everyone. Because buffaloes walk rather slowly, but they do their job. So Yamaraj comes slowly, quietly, and takes your life away. At night, in your sleep, in your dream, anytime the buffalo will come carrying Yamaraj and finish you. And what else? Saraswati. I don't know what she rides on. She rides on vibration of knowledge. I think she doesn't ride anything. Saraswati is riding on the hearts of the sages. Elephant. Indra. Oh, lest we forget. Airavata. Indra's carrier is an elephant. Because he's a king of the heavens. And kings are represented by elephants. Kings ride on elephants, as you know, Gajapati. So now there's someone else that we want to discuss here in the context of the verse, Lola Kundal. There is one person we know too well, all of us, and his name is Kamdev. Kamdev, the lord of lust, the god of mundane material love. He also has a carrier. And his carrier is a makara. A makara is a sea creature, like a fish, generally described as something like a dolphin, but very unique, aquatic animal. So he moves in the water carrying the god of lust. So the vahan for Cupid, as we say, or the Kamdev in India, the god of cupidity or material love or romance or material desire, his vahan is a makara. So when we hear Krishna's Sringhar being described and read about it in Shastra or see in paintings, Krishna is always characteristically wearing Makar Kundala. Because it's symbolic, it means something, that Krishna and Krishna alone is the only Kamadev, a Prakrita Kamadev. Madan Mohan, Sri Krishna. Manmata Manmata Sham. He who churns the mind of that great god of lust and cupidity, who is churning and agitating and whirling and spinning every man and woman's mind in the world since the beginning of time. Lust, Mr. Lust. He rides on Makar. Krishna wears Makar Kundal because he is the original god of spiritual romance, spiritual amor and divine love. And he's inviting everyone, come, you see my Makara Kundala? You see my Makara Kundala in my painting, in my murti, sometimes the murtis you see in Vrindavan, Radhe Shyam or other murtis, they're wearing Makara Kundala, shaped like this dolphin, this fish type of animal. And very special type of fish. The mouth is like a crocodile. Body is like a dolphin. Nose is like an elephant. It's a very extraordinary combination. Elephant, dolphin, and crocodile. Makar Dwaj, what do you call it? Makar Dwaj? Crocodile? Magar Much. So it's a Magar Much, a Hati, and Muchly, a fish, dolphin. Not to be seen these days. I haven't seen one lately. But we see them on Krishna's ears. So he's teaching everyone, listen, you're looking for love, you're looking for romance, you can get it here. See, these are my signs. Like if someone has a restaurant, they will put a sign in front of the restaurant. Or if they have a store, they're selling some product. They're selling shoes, the sign will say, shoe store. Yes? That sign or symbol or message or words, they indicate here you can buy men's shoes or everyone's shoes. So Krishna's earrings, his kundal, are makar kundal. Krishna's makar kundal, the characteristic sringar of Bhagavan Sri Krishna in Vrindavan. They're indicating this is a sign, this is a invitation. Oh, you want love? Do you want pure love, divine love? Pristine, immaculate, transcendental love, a prakrita pyar, a prakrita prem. You can buy it here. You can obtain it here from me, the prakrita madan, the transcendental love god, Sri Krishna. That kanta, that jiva kanta, gopika kanta, radha kanta, jiva kanta namostute. Jiva kanta. Jeev means me, the Atma, Jeevatma. Who is my true lover? Oh, I found my true love. She's so beautiful, so kind, tender, affectionate. Ah. When we get married, our true love, we think, but that true lover is Makara Kundala Krishna. Now, as I said, Krishna's wearing these Makar Kundala. When he's standing at Vamshivat, playing his Jago Kalam, his flute, he's moving like this. And Krishna's Makar Kundala, his earrings are dancing, moving. Lola Kundala, Krishna's earrings are also swinging. And Krishna's earrings are not swinging out of fear of Gurujan, not swinging out of because he's running. He's not moving. Krishna Lola Kundal, he's not Java Lola Kundal. Krishna's Stamba Lola Kundal. He's Stamba. He's standing in one place. He's leaning on the Vamshi, on the Vat tree at the Yamuna. And he's calling Radha and the gopis with his Vamshi, with his Murali flute. And his head is going like this. And Krishna's Kundal or Lola, they're dancing. And Krishna's Kundal are dancing with anticipation for love, Kanta. My Kantas, my beloveds are coming. Yatra Kanto Lola Kundala. My Kantas, my Krishna Kantas, my beloved gopis, they are Yatra, they are coming to where I am standing on the banks of the Yamuna under the full moon night of the Purnima, Shard Purnima. And because I'm anticipating and I'm excited, and I'm feeling Satvik Vikar, Ashta Satvik Vikar, just thinking of Radha, just remembering the Ashta Sakis, just thinking of what beautiful romantic activities we will have tonight. We'll dance together, we will sing, we will play, we will swim, we'll eat, we'll have so much wonderful fun together. And I will extend this night for millions of years, Brahma Ratra Upavrite, to enjoy and enjoy forever, everlasting pleasure and dancing throughout the night, throughout every night, throughout millions of nights. So Krishna is really excited about the proposals for love. Thousands of kantas are coming. Thousands of gopis are coming to be with me, Radhakant, Gopikakant. So Krishna's earrings are dancing with excitement of love, the delight and thrill of love. Krishna delights in the gopis' love. Krishna thrills with the love of his devotees. Krishna's heart jumps and feels so much pleasure and satisfaction in receiving the love of his devotees and giving his love in return. So Krishna's Makar Kundala are dancing, Lola. But the gopis there and Krishna's Makar Kundala are dancing. And while they're dancing, sometimes these Makara Kundala are hitting Krishna's Kapola. Makara Kundala Kapola Sparsha. When Krishna's Makara Kundala, his earrings are dancing, sometimes they touch his cheeks. They appear to be kissing Krishna's cheeks. Now, one acharya is telling that the gopis are going where? Brajastriya, Yatra Java, Lola Kundala. Their gopis are going so Java, so quickly, fastly. And the gopis, they also wear Kundal. But Krishna wears Makar Kundal, and the gopis wear Makari Kundal. They wear earrings that are actually the female counterpart, because there's a male fish and a female fish. Everywhere we have this opposites. So there's Makar Kundala dancing on Krishna's cheek, and these Makari on Radharani's cheek, Makari Kundala, they're also dancing. And because the gopis, as they're running, they're thinking. Radharani especially, she's thinking, when we arrive in Vamshivat, we're going to see Krishna. And I know that when Krishna plays his flute, that he moves his head like this. When he remembers us and remembers me, and as he moves, then his Makara Kundala, they're dancing on his cheeks and sometimes kissing and touching his cheeks. And we also have Makari Kundal. We have female Makar, fish-like earrings, fish-shaped earrings, dolphin-shaped earrings on our cheeks. When they remember Krishna's dancing earrings and they think, we also want to dance. We want to dance next to Krishna's face like those earrings are dancing. We also want to sometimes kiss Krishna's face like those Makar Kundala or Lola Kundala are swinging. And sometimes they kiss Krishna's face. So sometimes we'll swing in the nritya Nritya Lola will swing with Krishna, will dance with Krishna in the rasa dance, and sometimes we'll put our cheek to his cheek, we'll dance like this, and sometimes the gopis will kiss Krishna's cheek, or he'll kiss their cheek out of affection, an exchange of divine love. So remembering this, then Lola Kundala, the gopis' own Makari Kundala are shaking, thinking that, oh, our Makari Kundala will be dancing with the Makar Kundala. And we Krishna's gopis, we will be dancing with him and kissing his cheeks. So this is another reason. But that's not the reason. That is the reason. Then that's not the reason. There's another reason. Yatra Lola Kundala. The Brajastriya, the gopis, Lola Kundala, their Makari earrings were trembling. Why? Because, as I said, the Makar and the Makari are the Vahan of Kamadev. They are the carriers that Kamadev, the god of love, travels and moves on these Makar and Makari, these fish, dolphin-shaped earrings. But that Kamadev, as we read earlier in the same verse, Nishamyam Gitam Taranga Vardhanam, that Kamadev became Ananga. That Kamadev who rides on the Makar Kundala, he lost his body. Ananga, he lost his body because he went, Kamadev went riding on his Makar Kundala, and he approached Lord Shiva to agitate him with lusty desires, to break his meditation, his yoga samadhi. And at that time, then Shiva exhibited his power and opened his third eye and burned Kamadev, the god of lust, to ashes, and he lost his body. And Shiva became known as Kameshwar Mahadev. There's a famous Shiva Linga in Kamban, Vrindavan, Kameshwar. The controller of of lust and the god of material love is Lord Shiva. Now, the Makari Kundala are remembering, actually, when my Lord, I'm carrying Kamadev on me, and this Shiva, when I carried my Lord, the Makari Kundala, the Makar Kundala, when I carried my Lord as his Vahan, when I carried Kamadev, the god of lust, to Shiva, he lost his body. So the earrings were swinging, the gopis' earrings were swinging in fear because the Makari were remembering the time that their Lord Kamadev was burned to ashes and became a Nanga. But where is Lord Shiva in this pastime? It's Vamshivat. It's Sharad Purnima. There's Krishna playing his flute. There's a Brajastriya and Krishna. Then Grihita Manasa, the hero and the heroine. There's only one hero here in Rasleela, Krishna. There's no Shiva here. And there's all the heroines, the Nayak and the Nayakas are the gopis, Brajastriya. But the problem is, which the Acharyas say, that when Krishna played his flute, Krishna's flute is called Vamshi. Vamshi. And the Makari Kundala on the gopis' ears, when they were hearing that Vamshi calling the gopis, they were thinking, Vamshi, but Vamshi, if you spell it, you reverse the syllables, it becomes Shivam. Krishna's Vamshi becomes Vamshi becomes Shivam. And I don't know if that's, and the Makari Kundala are thinking, I don't know if we're going to Vamshi or we're going to Shivam. Because the Makari Kundala are thinking, maybe this is Shivam and not Vamshi. Then they're swinging out of fear that their master Kamadev is going to be burned again to ashes, Ananga. Ananda Kanda Bhagavan Ki Jai. So this is a very, very rustic understanding of our Gaudiya Vaishnavacharyas of this phrase. Sayatra Kanto Javalola Kundala. Very wonderful. So let's discuss some more points here. There are more commentaries that, as we mentioned, the gopis wear makari kundal, these female makar fish-like shaped earrings, and Krishna wears. But here it's describing the gopis, their kundal were dancing. So one acharya explains that the nayakas, the gopis are going to meet the nayak, Krishna. The Braja gopis are going to meet their beloved Krishna. And in the exchanges of romance, divine love, or love itself and amorous affairs, sometimes one party is victorious over the other. There is some competition in love and the pleasures and intimacies of love. There may be some competition. So one party, the lover or the beloved, may be victorious or conquer the other party in loving dealings. The general experience is there. So when Acharya says that the gopis' earrings were dancing, Lola Kundala, not because they were running, not because of fear of superiors, not because of fear of Shivam and losing the body of their master Kamadev, but they were dancing because they were victorious in the battle of love. They were proclaiming, they were dancing that, yes, we will conquer Krishna in this battle of divine love. And when someone becomes victorious in some Olympic contest, usually they prance, it's called the prance, they prance around in victory. They jump around and dance around. I won, I won. I'm number one. So the earrings were dancing to proclaim the gopis' victory over Krishna. Because this is one of the qualities, most beautiful quality of Bhagavan Sri Krishna in Vrindavan. It's called Prema Vasyata. Prema Vasyata means that Krishna, Vrindavan Sri Krishna, he is controlled by the love of his devotees. He's conquered and subjugated by the love of his devotees. And no one loves Krishna more, and no one surrenders to Krishna more, and no one is more absorbed in Krishna's pleasure at every moment in every possible way than the Braja Gopis. And most importantly and significantly, Srimati Radharani, Srimati Radhika. So they are time and again victorious over Krishna and love. So their earrings were dancing, we won, we won. Or they were dancing to proclaim, in tonight's Raslila, when we dance romantically under the full moon and enjoy intimately together in the kunjas of Vrindavan, we will be victorious. We will conquer Krishna and the intimacies of loving exchange as beloved and lover and beloved. So this is one reason that they're dancing as victory prance. That this take the gopis actually completely take over Krishna's heart. Total conquest. How so? How are the gopis so invincible? How are they so powerful in conquering Krishna? It's because of their incredible beauty and charm and sweetness and their unbelievable or inconceivable dedication, their surrender, and the purity of their love. As we mentioned, the gopis become so absorbed in Krishna, they forget themselves. They become self-forgetful. Yashoda remembers that she's Yashoda, and she remembers that Krishna is her Lala, and she remembers that Krishna is my son, and so does Nanda Baba. But of all the Brijvasis, lovers of Krishna, the mothers and fathers, the friends, gopas, gopis, or the servants, no one really shows this quality of self-forgetfulness. This is a unique attribute and lakshana of the Brajagopis. They no longer have a self. Who am I? I don't know. Even sometimes they're so absorbed in serving Krishna in their memory and in smaran, remembering Krishna's lila, that they become Krishna. I'm no longer Radha. I'm no longer Lalita. I'm no longer anyone. I'm Krishna. See, look. Just look how I walk. See my gait. I'm Krishna. See how I play the flute, and I start playing flute like Krishna. They become totally one with Krishna and completely forget their other identity as Radhika or some other gopi. We never hear that Mother Yashoda forgets that she's his mother and starts saying, I am Lala, I am Nandalal. Just see how I kill these demons. But the gopis do. So this is the intensity of their love, that they're able to totally conquer Krishna, Prem Vasyata, because their every word, their every thought, their every deed is totally absorbed in Krishna to the point that they lose themselves. One gopi, Radhika, she even says that, I have no concern. I've lost all conception of myself. I've lost all interest in my own. I have no self-interest. My happiness or my distress, it's irrelevant. I don't have any connection with it. Radharani offers one prayer where she says, if Krishna, my beloved Lord, my Priyatam Shah, my Krishna, if he finds pleasure in making me unhappy, then I consider that unhappiness that I will endure or experience is the cause of my greatest happiness. This is an extraordinary extent of surrender and submission and dedication in immaculate divine love. Oh, Krishna is enjoying ignoring me or neglecting me or running with some other gopi or being with some other gopi or even making me so unhappy. Okay, let it be. What do I care? I've forgotten all about my own happiness. I've forgotten about my own peace of mind or concern. If he finds happiness and make me unhappy, then that unhappiness becomes the greatest happiness for me. There is no one in this world who could think or feel like this. We never forget number one. Us. Me. I, me, mine. But Radharani's I is Krishna. Her me is Krishna. Her mine is Krishna. I, Krishna, me, Krishna. I, me, mine. Krishna. Well, what about you? You're Radharani. You're Vrishabhanu Nandini. You're Vrindavaneshwari. You're the crest jewel of all the Sakis. Yeah, I don't know. I forgot all that. I only know Krishna. A very extraordinary display of divine love in the gopis. So this is the basic understanding of this verse. Nishamya gitam taranga vardhanam brajastriya krishna grihita manasa ajagmaran yonyam alakshito dhyama sayatra kanto javalola kundala. So we heard many ideas about this last line, sayatra kanto javalola kundala. The acharyas always pose questions. Why were the earrings swinging? Lola kundala. And we gave many interesting insights and realizations that they all have had through the centuries. And we can appreciate how much deep feelings and exchanges, how every aspect of the gopis and every aspect of Krishna, their jewelry and their clothing and their facial expressions and their words and their movements is so full of ras and so expressive of their own hearts. Their hearts are expressed through the movements of their earrings. Their desires are expressed through the movements of their eyebrows or the the decorations of their faces, everything is connected to one goal, which is to satisfy and love Krishna. This is the whole purpose of everything. Swinging earrings and their mind was seized. So we talk about their hearts and their minds, but then we talk about their Shringar. And that will be a theme of the next several verses about the gopis' Shringar, their ornamentation, their dressing, and of course their own activities and their relations with their families and associates in their house. So now we can start the next verse, 29.5. It's a new verse, 29.5. And this 5, 6, and 7 is kind of a flashback, because we've heard in verse number 4, they're running down the footpath. They left their homes to meet Krishna. And now Shukadeva Goswami changes the setting. They're not on the footpaths and gullies going to Vamshivat. They're back in their houses. It's a shift in the setting, a shift in the scene. Because in verse 29.5, 6, and 7, even 8, Shukadeva and Vyasadeva are showing to what extent the gopis were involved in their household lives, to what extent they were attached and absorbed. What did they give up? What did they run away from? Because we just read so far in the first 4 verses that they heard the flute and they ran away. Yatra Kanto. They went to where their lovers, they went to where their lover Krishna Kant waited, the Radhakant. But where did they run from? We heard where they're running to. We haven't heard where they are running from. Now, in India, people often say, where you have come from, or where you have come from, where you have came, have come. So now it's kind of, let's change the scene. Let's go back to their houses now. What were they doing before they heard the flute? How were they engaged? What were their activities? And then we can understand the degree of how much grihita manasa, how much their minds were seized and taken away from so many activities that they were doing and so many attachments, and how much they were manoharam, and how much the gopis were anangavardhanam. These are words we heard in the first 4 verses. The gopis were manalharam. Their minds were enchanted. Anangavardhanam. Love and intense attachment was expanding moment by moment in their hearts. Anangavardhanam. Finally, they ran out. That's verse 5, 29.5. To hunt your biya you kashchid. To hunt yo biya you kashchid. Doham hitwa samutsuka. Payo deshritya sam yavam. Anujwas ya para yayu. The translation. Back in their houses before they ran away, some of the gopis were milking cows when they heard Krishna's flute. They stopped milking the cows and went off to meet Krishna in the forest in the middle of the night. Some gopis left milk curdling on the stove. And others left cakes burning in the oven. My Gurudev's translation. Some gopis were engaged in milking cows, but they left their milking business half finished. They didn't even finish milking the cow, and they immediately ran off to Krishna. One gopi had collected milk and put it in a milk pan to boil. She did not care whether the milk overboiled and spilled on the stove. She immediately went to see Krishna. This first line, Duhantyo Biyayu Kaschid. They were in the middle of milking cows. Toham Hitwa Samutsuka Utsuka. Some Utsuka. Great eagerness. Utsuka. Eagerness. But some Utsuka means they're completely eager. So overwhelmed in eagerness. So impatient. They could drop everything to run to Krishna. And the Acharyas, they comment that one should deeply understand each of these verses to understand or to realize how much the gopis gave up. Wasn't they simply, okay, we're going for a walk in the forest, goodbye. They left everything. So they say that when we're talking about this Doham Hitwa, Hitwa means they dropped. They dropped their milking business. And they ran away. This has so much significance, social significance. It's called Varna. Varna Dharma. The activities of their Varna. Because who are the gopis of Vrindavan? The gopis are cowherd girls. The milkmaids, they milk the cows. And their very life is centered around cows, protection of cows, the service of cows, and milk, milk production. They collect the milk, they produce ghee, they produce butter, and they trade. It's the means of trade and barter. They are the abhiras. They're a caste called the abhira. They're vaishyas. And this is their livelihood. Without cows, without milking the cows, because that's the whole point here. This whole verse is about cows. Milk, they're collecting milk. They stop milking the cows. So their duty, their whole life, and their varna karam, their social class, their work of their class is this class, the caretakers of the cows. So they stop that work, then they stop their society. They stop their whole social position. This verse talks about Varna Dharma. And it's not so easy to give up your whole profession. Just imagine. Taking care of cows, producing milk and butter and ghee. Is there a profession? We say, oh, what is your profession? Oh, I'm an engineer. I'm a doctor. I work in advertising. I work in commerce or government service. That's your profession. I'm a doctor. So to give up your profession and run to God, is it so easy? Can anyone give up their profession and run to God? Not now. When I retire from my profession, I will think about God, possibly. The gopis were not old. They were not retired. They were just married. They were the Gopavadu. They were the young married brides of the cowherd men. They were teenagers, practically. It's not the time to retire and give up your profession. They did because of Krishna, his attraction, his love, the proposal, the hope, the excitement. This is the power of God. So the Acharyas say that this has such significance because the whole basis of Vedic culture, the original Indian culture, is based on our social duties and our ashram duties. We have duties and activities in our varna and our ashram. Our varna is our profession. What we do, our varna may be, we have Brahmins and Kshatriyas and Vaishyas and Shudras, laborers or administrators and warriors, the Kshatriyas or the Brahmins, the intelligentsia, the inventors, the scientists, the teachers, the Brahmins, and they do puja and so many things. So to give up the profession is very difficult. So this is the basis, the whole basis of culture. It's called varna, ashram, dharma. Varna and ashram. That's your varna. Then what's your ashram? Your ashram is your personal, your behavior, your ashram dharma, your ashram karma, the actions and activities you have to do in context of your ashram, your behavior, your personal behavior and your personal conduct. For example, if your ashram, the gopis are grihasthas. They're married, most of them. So they have duties in their ashram, which is discussed later. But this particular verse is only talking about their profession as milkmaids, as coward girls, as gopis. Stop milking the cows. No milk. They're not milking the cows. They don't produce any milk. Then there's no ghee or butter. There's no yajna for the Brahmins because there's no ghee. There's no food, proper food, and nourishment for their families. Well, it's a big thing. The Acharyas have deep comments on this. So this is because in Gita, Krishna's telling in Gita, Sarva Dharma Prityaja Mamekam Sharanam. He says, Sarva Dharma Parityaja Tyaji. Renounce, give up, leave your Dharma. It means your Ashram Dharma, means your Varna Dharma. Depend on me alone. Take shelter in me alone. Mamekam sharanam braja. I'll do everything. Yoga kshema mahamyaham. I'll do everything. So the gopis, they're actually showing the best example of this Bhagavad Gita verse. The Gita is the theory. We have practical and theoretical. So that knowledge of Gita, Gita gyan, is there. Yes. Okay, that's the theory, the teaching of Krishna. Where's the example? The practical application in this lila of the gopis. Duhantyo biyayu kaschit. In the middle of milking the cows, duhantya abiyayu, they went away. Doham hitwa samutsuka. They were milking the cows, they abandoned and they hitwa, they dropped it. How? Because samsukha, samutsukha, samutsukha, utsa, utsaha. Utsaha means enthusiasm in Sanskrit. Utsaha means enthusiasm. Utsaha means excitement, enthusiasm. And utsukha means eagerness. Eagerness and enthusiasm. So the gopis, because of they receive Krishna's love, they got connection with Krishna, acceptance by Krishna, invitation by Krishna. They became so enthusiastic and they became so eager and enthusiastic to run to God and give up everything. Not so easy. We're all so attached. We're all very far from tyag or renunciation. It comes in steps gradually. But this is probably the best example anyone will find in Shastra of someone who most perfectly, the gopis of Vrindavan in the Ras Lila, they most perfectly exemplify the Bhagavad Gita. Sarva Dharman. Dharman means Varna Dharma, Nashram Dharma. So this is being told here. So it represents the neglect of their duties. Vishwanath Chakravarti says that they're giving up in this verse all their duties based on aham, ahamta, and mamta. They're giving up, the gopis of Vrindavan, Brajastriya, they're giving up all their duties and actions and activities based on I am, aham, and mamta. I and mine. I and mine. I am the wife in this family. And my duty is this, to milk cows and boil milk and make ghee and all these things. So they gave up all that. Because ultimately, Janasya Mohoya Mahamameti, the Jana, we people in this world, were victimized by our misconceptions of I and mine. We identify I am the body, I am this and that, and mine is this world, and mine are these possessions. And the gopis thought, I am not this family, I am not this wife, I am not this gopi, I am not this cowherd girl. I am Krishna's servant, I am Krishna's beloved, and my kanta is calling me. So yatra kanto javalola kundala. And I have to go where my lover is, at Vamshivat. Wherever God is, I have to go to him. As I said, people in India would go to Rishikesh, go to the Himalayas. God is there. Rishis go there to find God. Or go to the forest. Dhruva Maharaj's mother told him to go to the forest to find God. Usually go to some secluded place, some sattvic place to find God. They went to Vamshivat. It's also a forest of Vrindavan. Very thick forest. So this is, the verse is describing this whole point, that this is the very cornerstone of married life. Very cornerstone of married life is duty. The husband has his duty to the wife has duties, and the gopis are apparently giving up their duty. Not that we're advocating giving up the duty, but this is what's being shown here. And the ultimate expression of divine love, the ultimate teaching. Because sometime in some life, at some junction in our life, we have to give everything to God. Sarva dharman pratyajah.